Let us open our Bibles in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Second Corinthians, chapter 4. I'm going to read starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now that he hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. I'm not going to preach on every verse we just read, but from that segment I want to share with you this sermon, which I have entitled, this is the long title, Christians Do Not Faint, because the life of Jesus enables them to see present tribulation as a light affliction, which is but for a moment, and that produces a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want to start with an affirmation this morning about the current world situation. The current world situation shows that, at least in what we call Western world, people have become coward and too fearful. There are no more people willing to make sacrifices for a good cause. That is the situation that we can see. We can think of examples of people from the past, the people who came to this, your country, or who came to our the whole continent, people from Europe. They had something in mind that enabled them to suffer many things, to build something. They had something in mind that they wanted to build, and in that they took courage to do many things. But now it seems that people this side of the world is so comfortable in their situation. They are not willing to make any sacrifice. Now they don't want anything to challenge their stability, how good they live. And because of that, because of the fear of losing any comfort, they have been led. You see? People have shown that they are willing to do anything, but not losing any stability or comfortable situation. Fear in the hearts is what we can see. Fear, everybody is fearful. The fear of experiencing any kind of suffering is greater than anything else. And I want to clarify that, of course, fear in itself is not a bad thing. It's something that God gave us as a defense mechanism. If you don't fear anything, you will do crazy things. But the situation now is not of a healthy fear. It's fear of pain, fear of suffering that is dominating our culture and is being used to dominate them, to dominate people. What we have read shows a very different way of thinking. As I have said, the colonizers were willing to come and to build towns. You just think about that in your country, where you have those times with difficult climate in some parts of the year, with so much cold and things like that, and they had no heating systems, and they built their houses without air conditioning, without everything you have now, and you take it for granted. But they had a goal bigger than the obstacles that they faced. And it is the same that I consider in my country. You see, I go every other week to the south in my country. It is a 3.5 hours ride, but in my country you have many mountains, so you have to go up and then to go down. And I thought, how did they do it? Because you see, what now takes 3.5 hours, it took a week, a whole week, traveling by horse or walking. And then many died in the way to that place. But they had, as I've said, certain goal bigger than the obstacles. And the heroes of the faith, the apostles, the missionaries, were the same. They had a higher motivation. They also wanted to build something. They wanted to participate in the building of the city of God. And that is why they were willing to make sacrifices and to fear and to face obstacles. I want to read some of the obstacles that the Apostle Paul faced. The same apostle that wrote this, that we just have read, he wrote, for our light affliction, he said, which is but for a moment. He that wrote this, for our light affliction, wrote this. 2 Corinthians 11. Verses 24-27. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings over, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And now, I can ask you, how could someone who suffered those things can write like this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment? How is it possible for a person to see all those suffering that we have just read and described? You see, we also read this, that he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. But beloved, is it not true that we can see many Christians distressed and in despair? And it seems like they are forsaken or feeling forsaken. It is not as we behave. We should be able to say with the apostle, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Because we say we're troubled on every side and we get distressed. We are perplexed, we should say, but not in despair. But many times we have to say, we are in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. By the way, we don't know what persecution is. Cast down, but not destroy it. But so many Christians come to counseling, destroy it. And how many pastors face the counseling nowadays with the attitude of a psychologist, not using the word of God to encourage people, and not even thinking that this is enough, this is good enough for counseling in every area. No, we can see how so many pastors and counselors send people to the professional counselor, what they call professional counseling. What is the key? What is the difference? How is possible that someone who faced the sufferings and that we have just read, what enabled him to say, for our light affliction? I think the key to understand this is a comparison. You have to compare things. What is your point of comparison to see if something is a light affliction? Let's start by this. The first thing you need, and myself need to have in mind, is the suffering of our Savior. We forget about the sufferings of our Savior. We don't think of that much. The suffering during all his humiliation state. Sometimes we think about the suffering of Christ just from Gethsemane and on, the crucifixion. But all his life was full of suffering. Yes, the horrors of Gethsemane and the agony and crushing of Jesus' soul in the cross. But all his life, in his humiliation state, was suffering. Can you imagine to be a perfect boy in this sinful world? He was a perfect boy. But he had imperfect brothers and sisters, sinners. He was a perfect son, but he had father and mother who were sinners. That's a suffering. that we cannot understand because we are sinners. But he suffered all his life. And in that, yes, the climax is the passion and the crucifixion. And we don't think of that as we should. But if we do, then we will be able to say that our affliction is light in comparison what our Lord and good Savior, the only innocent, he had to suffer the cross. Because remember that the suffering was not just the physical suffering, who was awful, but it was the suffering of his soul. That is why he prayed three times to his Father. If it is possible, if it will be another way, take this cup. So imagine the suffering of his soul, the fear, not of just physical pain, but all the wrath of God coming upon him. So, if we compare our sufferings in this life with what Jesus had to suffer, that will help us to say with the Apostle Paul, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You see, I was very sick this past week, and with pain, and I thank God that he helped me at that moment to think of this. This is going to pass. This is not forever. And it is true. Now I'm feeling much better. Amen. But then I thought, do we think that the torments of hell are forever? Can we transmit this truth to the people that in this life you have sufferings to remind you about something bigger that is coming, and if you're not with Christ, it will never cease. It is forever. I was there in pain, but knowing that this is not going to be like this forever, because I have just two options. Maybe I can get well and thank God I'm feeling well, but the other possibility is that I had died and then the pain stopped. So either way, it stopped. It was not forever. That helped me to compare. My pain is you know, this is awful, but it's temporal. It's for a moment. There is another kind of suffering that is never ending. The other point of comparison that can help us to see our afflictions in this life as something lightened but for a moment is the future glory. Let us read in the letter to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now at this point we should repent, because we don't think like this all the time. We don't see the future glory that will be revealed in us as something great. We are too comfortable in this world. And I apologize to say something to you, but in your country especially, because you have everything, and you have lots of everything, and that abundance, you are so used to have it all, and you are so comfortable, that you cannot have time to think of the future glory. You want to live forever here. Have you heard about the people looking for the fountain of everlasting youth? And why? Why people is after that? Because when you're young, you can enjoy better all the good things of life. And I'm not speaking about sinful things. I'm speaking about the good things of life, which God made us to enjoy. That is not a sin. Don't get me wrong. But why is that people is looking to be young forever? Because they know that when you become older and older, you don't enjoy the good things of life in the same way. And you are and you want to enjoy the good things of life forever here. So for many people, heaven, their idea of heaven is like enjoying whatever you like here, but without limits. If you enjoy Eden, so heaven for you would be lots of food. And in my country, I've heard people saying, for example, if someone who played football, then he died, and then the people, oh, he's playing football there with God. Because the idea of heaven is the same you have here. You have no idea what heaven is. Here it speaks of a future glory. And that is the language that make us groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our heavenly body. But if you're not converted, you don't understand anything of this. Because your heart is here. Your treasure is here in this world. This is the illustration that we just read. The illustration of a tabernacle who is a tent. You know? This is something temporal. Yes, the Lord gave us so many things in this life to enjoy, but this is not heaven. We are pilgrims, not permanent citizens. And that is the problem with modern Christianity. We don't see people walking like pilgrims. We see people so established here, so happy here. And that is why maybe God is sending some kind of suffering to our lives, to wake us up. As I've said, let us the sufferings of illnesses or any other pain help us to remember we have been saved from damnation, which is eternal, and we are going to enjoy eternal life with Christ. But because that is heaven with Christ.
Yes.
We don't know. We can imagine many things, but our imagination is not good enough. But one thing you can be sure is being with Him.
Amen.
That is heaven. How can we do it? How can we experience this and say this? But because it is easy to say it. You can even memorize it, but it is not enough. You need to experience by yourself that what Christian life is, so that you may say that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The language of groaning earnestly, I don't see that. People is not groaning earnestly for the spiritual and eternal things. It's for things, for worldly things. We have read that we walk by faith and not by sight in chapter 6 and 7 says, therefore we are always confident. Are we? We're always confident, says here. Are we always confident? Knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This is true Christian life, walking by faith. Walking by faith in someone you have not seen, Jesus, but someone you know. And even when Jesus, this language of seeing what cannot be seen, it was used by the Lord. Let us read John 14, 17. When Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit that he was going to send in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because this is the reason why the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. This is said about the Holy Spirit. It says here that a Christian can see the Holy Spirit. Can you? Of course, this is not what you can see with your physical eyes. You need spiritual sight to see the Holy Spirit. So maybe among us there is someone who cannot yet receive the Holy Spirit because he's not able to see it. And Jesus said about the Holy Spirit that it is like the wind. You cannot see it, but you can see what it does. This should be our prayer, that we may see the true work of the Holy Spirit among us, changing lives, transforming lives. That's where the Holy Spirit is, applying the life of Jesus. Do you pay attention that he uses twice that expression, the life of Jesus in us? We know that that we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to walk by faith and not by sight. No longer guided by our senses. Because when we say by our sight, it means our senses. Or dominated by our emotions or feelings. And this is what we have everywhere. Christians living their Christian life guided or dominated by their emotions and feelings. And if you do so, your spiritual life will be like this all the time, because that's how emotions work in our life. One day you are so happy and you're full of emotions and of good emotions, but the other day you're not that happy. Sometimes you're sad and you don't even know why. And sometimes you get up like angry or something. So your emotions are not the right way to guide your life. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are enabled to walk by faith. Because in the days you're happy, in the days you're not happy, in the days you're healthy, in the days you're very ill, in all those days, Jesus is your Savior.
Amen. Yes.
And in those days, Jesus loves you. If you are one of his sheep, that he doesn't change. What changes are circumstances. Our situation change. And it changes constantly, but he doesn't change. It is beautiful what the Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter about how we see Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, whom having not seen, speaking about Jesus, he says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I need to ask you this question. I need to ask you, do you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory in Jesus? Do you rejoice in Jesus? Because we have not seen him. But if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you can rejoice in him. You see, I hope I'm using the right words here, but I wrote that Christians in our day behave like rich and spoiled kids. Because they, having it all the time, cannot appreciate things. When you don't have meat because your family can afford having meat, and once your father comes with meat, then you're going to enjoy it and to thank for it. But if there's a refrigerator full of meat, it is not that the big thing. Oh, steak, one more time. So, what is lacking in our Christian churches? The preaching of Christ as Lord, because we read in our reading in the 2 Corinthians 4:7. 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord. That's what we have to preach if we want to grow spiritually. That is why it's so sad for me to see in my country, and of course here it happens, So many big churches full of people listening to speeches which does not exalt Christ. Christ has not been preached there. That is why we have the situation. But it should be your goal as a church and in your personal goal, Christ the center of everything, preaching of Christ as Lord, which means you have to obey Him. I have some questions for us we need to answer. How do you react when you face adversities and affliction? Does adversities and affliction help you to think more in the eternal and spiritual things? Or do you behave like an unbeliever, complaining? Because we need to understand that God should be glorified in our lives or in our death, in our healthy lives or illness. Because you see, I faced, and some of you faced illnesses, but temporal illnesses. But some people had to deal with chronic illnesses for years. But even if they understand and if they have the Christ, they can also say that it is a light affliction, which is but for a moment. If you live 50 years, 60 years in pain, it is for a moment comparing to eternity. But you and I don't think in eternity as we should. We should ask our Lord that we learn how to react properly when we face adversities and affliction, thinking more in the spiritual and eternal things. We have read that we are always confident, says Paul. Are you confident? Do you have your faith in Jesus? When we speak of confidence, you know, we know that many people may have a false security, but we have read something here that we need to be reminded of. In verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God." This is He who wrought us for the selfsame thing, who also had given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. I told you in the first hour that in my country, most non-Catholic, non-Roman Catholic churches are charismatic, and they speak a lot of the Holy Spirit. But it is a shame they don't know the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. If you know Christ, and if you know your Bible, you should know about the Holy Spirit. It says here that it is called the earnest of the Spirit. It is what gives you this security. It is what gives you enables you to be confident in the promises of God. Let me ask you this again. How do you react in those times of affliction? Do you complain? What are the others that are watching saying about us? It is the same thing? Or can they glorify God? Maybe not with their words, but in amazement, saying, how do they do that? So, let us think for a moment, how did the apostles and Jesus did it? How were they able to face afflictions and tribulations as those that we read from the Apostle Paul? Let me read Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, pay attention, because this is the key, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him. We read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, that when the time was come that he should be received up, Jesus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen. Let me read it again. Luke 9:51. When the time was come that he should be received up. So he was approaching his death. What he did? He didn't panic. As we see our society in panic because of a virus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. How he did it? He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. This is what we need. This is what the apostles did. This is what our Lord and Savior did. He saw further. He walked not by sight, but by faith. When I'm speaking about this, I'm not saying that we should be like in a state of conformity or irresponsibility. Oh, it is like it is, and I'm not going to do anything. It is the life of Jesus that in you enables you not to faint, because it is written here, we faint not. Maybe you're feeling very sad, and you have true reasons to be sad, but you, enabled by the Holy Spirit and by faith in Christ, you don't faint. Our attitude in the midst of tribulation will be a special mark that unbelievers can see. And our attitude and our reactions is what should support our preaching. Because if not, our religion is just words. But they need to see that the words that we preach about a precious Savior, about Christ, and about the Holy Spirit, is something practical. It enables me to walk in this life, but not by sight, but by faith, because my sight is there, up in heaven, where Jesus Christ is at the right hand of my Father. Can you say that? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word that was read and was in a way explained. We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit, because we want to experience what we have just read, that Christians do not faint. Because the life of Jesus enables us to see the present tribulation and problems and as a light affliction, which is but for a moment. May you use it to produce a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in us. We ask, and we ask your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ.